Hey, I'm back here on my stoop. And the last time we were together here was Easter. Do you remember? I had a bagel or two and asked God to bless it. I had some champagne and some glasses and an equally attractive non-alcoholic beverage as well. And my neighbors had gathered down the block. And we asked God to be with us, and we said prayers of thanksgiving, and we made the Eucharist on a folding table out on the street, on Chester Street, right by Patterson Park. And it was Easter, and God was present. And it sure felt like the resurrection to me, even though the time was strange, and I was talking to you through a video, and we weren't together physically. I understand a bit more now about how it might have felt to be at the table that day, of breaking bread and sipping wine, so grateful for the new conversation, writes Kristen Geiser. No longer about rules and regulations, but about belonging. The new conversation happened around the table, where the life of each disciple was a sacred text. Not just the ones who didn't betray, a conversation where everyone's words were part of the sacred story. So we return on Sundays to remember what is available to us. Do this in remembrance of me. Do take this with you, this new conversation, this beauty you've experienced. It's not a story to believe in or to memorize or to tell, but a life to live with one another, a new conversation to inhabit. What if as much as it is about the bread and the wine, it's about re-entering the conversation? What if as much as it is about the beautiful inherited words offered, it's about our emerging and imperfect words, held by the fertile tensions of belonging and becoming, longing and allowing, arriving and departing? Do this in memory of me. Do take this with you, this gift, this earthy and holy invitation to participate in a new conversation. Jesus gathers with his disciples out in a lonely place, away from town, we're told, and a lot of people have gathered around him. He's become something of a phenomenon, and he sits and teaches and is with the crowd in a healing way. And at a certain point, it's clear that the people are hungry. And so Jesus tells his disciples to get them something to eat. And their response is, how are we going to feed these people? We don't have enough for ourselves. Let them find something to eat. And Jesus takes what they have, helps them see that they have so much more than they thought they had. And he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he feeds the 5,000. I wonder if that story means something different to you now than it did before the pandemic. I wonder if that story means something to you different now than it did before the racial reckoning that we're in the midst of. This sense again of the disciples that they don't have enough, that there is scarcity instead of a spirit of abundance, and the living God says to them, show me your empty satchel, show me your empty pockets, open up your broken heart, and I'll show you there so much more than you thought you had. And of course the miracle is that God addresses them, opens them up, and in their opening themselves up to God and to each other, there's more than enough. They're fed for the day, and they're leftovers for tomorrow. The poet that I read you, Kristen Geiser, speaks of this miracle as a new conversation, a new way to understand how God is present with us. In every meal, I believe, in every conversation, even the hard ones, maybe especially the hard ones that you have with your family, that you have at work, you have on the street when you're raising your voice in protest because things are not the way that they should be. That God is present in this conversation, in these conversations, because every exchange between people has the seeds of the holy. We might think there's not enough of grace. We might think there's not enough patience or time. We might think that we're empty. And if we put on another set of glasses, the living God says, let me see, let me help you see that there's more than enough time and place enough to connect and to find ways to nourish each other. We're interested in this new way of understanding the Eucharist as conversation. And I wonder if you have tried to make the meals that you eat, maybe every day, Eucharist. I'm wondering if you have taken this invitation of breaking and blessing what God has given to us, meager as it seems, and to find in it, to discover in it, the precious holy bread of presence, even in this time, especially in this time. If you're like me, you're in the midst of some very difficult conversations right now. Sometimes it's with people that I love the most that I'm finding that to be true, and some of that is because I feel like we're kind of empty in terms of energy, kind of empty in terms of new ideas and inspiration. It's tough to feel hopeful right now. And so my prayers have taken a different direction. And often what I'm praying for is to be deeply nourished with the presence of God, and to feel God in me like bread, like wine, and to enable those difficult conversations. And again, often right now they're about issues of justice, about being better at being agents of compassion, about having the courage to really be engaged in a reckoning, to hold myself and my systems accountable for the ways that people of color have been cast out and cast down. So much of this time is about not only raising our consciousness, but having the will and the courage to act in this new knowledge of God's presence, in this new experience of, or renewed experience, that where the systems that we embody and benefit from have said there's not enough and have taught us a story about scarcity, to discover in them a gospel of abundance. That's what I think is going on in the story of feeding the 5,000, and I think it's what's going on every time we gather at the table. And because we don't gather at the table in the way that we have grown accustomed, again, I invite you to consider your tables as holy, and to find there the nourishment that I promise you God is offering. David White, another poet that I appreciate, offers some insight into how to start these difficult conversations. He says, start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. voice, and wait until that voice becomes an intimate, private ear that can really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step. You can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close to him. Take that first step of connecting and listening, of nourishing yourself and each other, of finding God's abundant bread in you so that you can offer it to a hungry world. Amen.